Friends, family, brothers, sisters, welcome to worship today. This is the first Sunday in Lent. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I've been praying for you. I've been praying that as we enter into this much beloved season, that you find a way to come closer to God, to know Him more and be known by Him. Friends, it is my pleasure to be here with you today as we commence the journey for this year to the cross. We light the Christ candle, remembering that its light shines in our hearts and connects us as one body. In this glow, we find our home. In this light, we find our purpose. Comfort in uncertainty, courage in change, hope for the future. The light of Christ is with us. Let's join in the call to worship for today. Friends in Christ, Lent is a time to prepare and renew our life. We mark this holy season by acknowledging the need for repentance and for the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel. We are invited in the name of Christ to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and penitence, by prayer and fasting, by works of love, and by reading and meditating on the Word of God. Let's pray together. As we follow Jesus into the unknown, may we recognize temptation when it comes. God of the desert, let it be your bread we eat. God of the wilderness, let it be your world we serve and you alone we worship. Amen. Confession becomes even more important, more featured, I guess, through the season of Lent. So in today's prayer of confession, there is a time of silence where you may offer up your own transgressions to God. Let's pray. God, our light and salvation, forgive us for those moments when we have walked in darkness, stumbling in the wilderness of quarrels, division, and bickering. You have called us to follow you and to fish for people, but too often we think that our way is the only way to do your will. Forgive us, Lord, for the brokenness that we bring upon ourselves. God, the stronghold of our life, hear our cry as we come to you for unity. Send your Spirit to gather us as you desire us. Remind us that unity does not mean uniformity. Teach us that the same mind you call us to have is not ours, but the mind of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Let us hear these words of grace. Persistently, patiently, lovingly, God pours out grace and joy into our lives, healing our brokenness, forgiving our sin. Loved, we are sent to love. Forgiven, we are freed to forgive. Graced, we can offer our gifts to everyone we meet. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The scripture today is from Matthew 4:18-22. Jesus calls the first disciples. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I was looking for my drill the other day and opened a drawer in which I found an envelope, thinking it might be my long-lost Tim Horton gift certificates. I opened it eagerly, more eagerly than if it was my annual mutual fund statement, for I know a Tim Horton's gift certificate never loses its value. I opened it and was immediately transported in memory to my favorite spot to fish. If Jesus would have wanted to find me to call me as a disciple, like he did with Simon, Andrew, James, and John in this week's gospel reading, well, Jesus would have found me on the Bow River in Banff National Park, about a kilometer or so before Bow Falls, where the river runs fast and clear. And it's here where the trout hide out in the ripples, waiting for whatever bugs have hatched that day. You can see the occasional fish break the surface of the water and you try to figure out what they're after, for that is the fly you want to imitate. Wrong fly equals wrong bait. And you may as well fish like Keitha, my wife, who often joined me on my excursions. Keitha wisely spent her fishing time reading her book, drinking her coffee, and listening to Rex Murphy on CBC Radio, sitting on a log far enough away from the water to avoid the misguided adventures of my fly rod. And as I said, if Jesus wanted to call me as a disciple, a fisher of men and women, well, he would have had to walk a ways, carefully skirting the trees where the elk lay down to sleep in the afternoon, carefully sliding down the bank, being sure to make enough noise not to be mistaken as a bear, and in doing so, risk the trauma of being pepper sprayed. In that envelope, my other fishing partner, Lance, had placed some of the best flies for fishing on the Bow. The mosquito for early evening, the top of the pool in still water, perhaps a biblical reference to the 23rd Psalm. The grasshopper close to shore in the shadows under the trees, a sunny afternoon. The leech, deep pool at the inlet evenings, the tiny dun for pale mornings and evenings. Lance is a pretty good fly fisherman and understood the need for just the right bait. Wrong fly, wrong bait, wrong time of day, and the fish just slide on, looking for something else. To be effective, the right hook must contain a small flash of brilliant color as an attractant, an attention getter, so to speak. United Methodist minister William Williton tells this story about trolling and fishing. When evangelical activist Tony Campola was to speak at our chapel, a young man appeared at my office and asked me to introduce Dr. Campola. Before he spoke, he told me that he would like to share something of what Dr. Campola had meant to him. He said, "I got converted my senior year of high school. I was a fresh, eager Christian. So when Dr. Campola came to our town to speak, I went to hear him. He was great. After he spoke, he asked us to sign up for his program of inner city ministry, so I did. Well, in mid-June, I met 100 other kids in a Baptist church in Philadelphia. We had about an hour of singing before Dr. Campola arrived, and when we got to the church, we were all enthusiastic and ready to go. Dr. Campola preached for about an hour, and when he finished, people were shouting, standing on the pews, clapping. It was great. "Okay, gang, are you ready to go out there and tell them about Jesus?" he asked. "Yeah, let's go," we shouted back. "Get on the bus," Tony shouted. So we spilled out of the church and onto the bus, singing, clapping. But then we began to drive deeper into the depths of the city. We weren't in a great neighborhood when we started riding, but it got worse. Gradually, we stopped singing, and everybody, all of us college kids, were just staring out the window. Lord, we were scared. Then the bus pulled up before one of the worst-looking housing projects in Philadelphia, and Tony jumped on the bus, opened the door, and said, "All right, gang, go out there and tell them about Jesus. I'll be back in a couple of hours." We made our hesitant way off the bus, stood there at corner, had prayer, and then we spread out. I walked down the sidewalk and stopped before a huge apartment building. I gulped, said a prayer, and ventured inside. There was a terrible odor. The windows were out. No lights in the hall. I walked up one flight of stairs towards the door where I heard a baby crying. I knocked on the door. "Who is it?" said a loud voice inside. Then the door cracked open and a woman holding a naked baby peered out at me. "What do you want?" she asked in a harsh, mean voice. I told her I wanted to tell her about Jesus. Well, with that, she swung the door open and began cursing me. She cursed me all the way down the hall, down the flight of stairs, cursed me out onto the sidewalk. I felt terrible. "Look at me," I said to myself, "some Mr. Christian I am. How in the world could somebody like that think I could tell anybody about Jesus?" I sat down on the curb and cried. Then I looked up and noticed a store on the corner, windows all boarded up, bars over the door. I went to that store, walked in, I looked around, and then I remembered the baby had no diapers. The mother was smoking, so I bought a box of paper diapers, and a pack of cigarettes. I walked back to the tenement house, said a prayer, walked in, walked up the flight of stairs, gulped, stood before the door and knocked. "Who is it?" the voice inside said. When she opened the door, I slid that box of diapers and those cigarettes in. She looked at them, looked at me, and said, "Come in." I stepped into the dingy apartment. "Sit down," she commanded, and I sat on the old sofa and began to play with the baby. I put a diaper on the baby, even though I'd never put one on before. When the woman offered me a cigarette, even though I don't smoke, I smoked. I stayed there all afternoon, talking, playing with the baby, listening to the woman. And about 4 o'clock, the woman looked at me and said, "Let me ask you something. What's a nice college boy like you doing in a place like this?" So I told her everything I knew about Jesus. It took me about 5 minutes. Then she said, "Pray for me and my baby that we can make it out of here alive." And I prayed. That evening after we were all back on the bus, Tony asked, "Well, gang, did any of you get to tell him about Jesus?" And I said, "I not only got to tell him about Jesus, I met Jesus. I went to save somebody, and I end up being saved. I became a disciple." You see, Jesus is calling all of us to be fishers of people, and we are the bait. The bait, I call it an attractant, will never be money or power. The bait, the attractant, is love. And when the love of God transforms us and overflows into all aspects of our life, evangelism happens and community is created, God's community. Jesus is calling us to be fishers of people, and we are the bait. And when love is the bait, Jesus tells his disciples, the catch will be plentiful. Jesus' call to discipleship is to change the world in such a way that it will cease to be the hostile place it is. And doing this will require that we be like Jesus, making a preferential option for the poor, the dispossessed, the excluded, and those who, because of gender, sexual orientation, race, or class, have been rendered invisible in our society. It will also require that we courageously name the evils of our culture. In short, it will require that we change the romantic view of discipleship that we have inherited for one that may do more justice to Jesus' original intent to love our neighbor as we love ourselves and to identify our neighbors as everyone we meet. When love is at the core of our church, Jesus tells his disciples, and believe me, we are all disciples, Jesus tells us the catch will be plentiful, and the world will be bettered and blessed, and so will be, so will we. May it be so in this place and in our time. Amen.
Good morning. Let us pray. Loving, compassionate God, this is the first Sunday of Lent, which is the beginning of an inward journey as we prepare for Easter. It can be done in multiple ways. Help each of us to reflect on where we are in our spiritual journey and where we want to be in 40 days. Help each of us to set reasonable goals which are important for us and to us. As we ponder this, may we look to our surroundings for the gratitude we share in our outside world. We thank you for the mild weather where we can walk and observe the wildlife. Some of us are fortunate to have blossoms either in trees or in the beginning of spring, snowdrops or daffodils. Surround us with your peace as we hear the call of birds and the quiet lapping of waves of the ocean. May we stay centered on your love as we connect in greeting strangers, our neighbors, our friends, and our family. We pray for the Tumbler Ridge families who have a member in hospital. Help the person in hospital to steadily heal and soothe the fears of the family members. Comfort them and the hospitalized member with your peaceful, loving presence. Open all of their hearts to receive that loving presence. We pray for the families grieving the family member who has passed away. We pray that the government officials go beyond promises to committed activity to help this town in the months and years ahead. And we thank you for your influence in this activity. We pray for all caregivers that we know and are within our congregations. Give them the energy they need to do the necessary work of the daily with the compassion that is needed for the caregiving as well as the outside provision that some folk need. May all folk who are struggling with mental health issues, physical illnesses, and addiction be open to receiving help that they need. We ask this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, your offerings are such a beautiful act of worship. Thank you for all the ways that you provide for the ministry that goes on here at St. Stephen's. And I ask you now to pray with me over all the gifts that have been given this week. Generous God, we marvel at your lavish gifts to us, life and breath, food and shelter, opportunities for work and play, and most especially, hope and peace in Christ. We now pledge ourselves to mirror and reflect the glory of your self-giving love, to continue in the pattern of generosity we see perfectly revealed in Christ, through whom we pray. Amen. During this season of Lent, if you are looking for some way to enter in more deeply to a relationship with Jesus and would like some resources to help you do that, I have put together a fairly comprehensive list that I'm happy to provide to you. Please give me a call at the church office, 250-752-9831, and I will happily share those with you. As you are likely very aware, our new minister, the Reverend Robin Jacobson, is starting here on the 1st of June. This coming weekend, though, on March the 1st, he is going to be visiting with his lovely wife, Linda, and Robin is going to be preaching here on March the 1st. There are two services in person, and we will be online as well. So please join us, 9 and 11 in person here at St. Stephen's, or online.
The Spirit of God is upon you and has anointed you. You are the salt of the earth, and you bring light into the world. You are not too young or too old. You are not too rich or too needy to bring good news to the impoverished, to give a hand to the brokenhearted, and to live out freedom and pardon through the gifts you have been given. The God of yesterday and the God of tomorrow knows you by name, loves you, and calls you forth, saying, "You are known, you are loved, you are enough." Amen.
I have heard my people.